love, especially a romantic love that will endure. Here are some quotes from literature experts commenting on the series and the novels. Love is the driving force behind everything that we do. So I think reading about all these different types of loves and the ways in which they present is one of the great human questions. Another literary expert says, I love a good love story. I think everybody wants it. If you don't want it, you're trying to get it. If you have it, you're trying to keep it. Another says, every book on this list is about love and death and finding love that transcends death. I mean, who's not going to love a love story? And finally, we are fascinated by the fact that things can go wrong in love. We don't want to go there. We don't want this sort of thing to happen to us. So when we think about love, every one of us is longing for love, right? We want to feel loved. Our family vacationed every summer at Harvey Cedars Bible Conference in New Jersey. For many, many years, that's where we would go with other pastor families as well. And so young people this morning, if you're following along in your note page, where did Pastor Stewart and his parents and his brother and sister vacation every summer? Well, it was at Harvey Cedars Bible Conference in New Jersey. And so I grew to love that conference center. And as a teenager, I was able to go and work on staff there for 3 summers. And of course, it was not unusual for summer love to blossom between male and female staffers. And that was my hope for the summers that I was there. But love never blossomed for me at Harvey Cedars. It wasn't for lack of effort on my part. The girls that I was interested in, they loved to talk to me. And that was where the love stopped. They just loved to talk to me. That was it. I was longing for love, right? But I can look back on those summers now and realize that God had a better plan for me. It wasn't time for love to blossom for me. And so how many of us have experienced this longing for love? You don't have to raise your hand today. It's just a rhetorical question for you to think about in your own heart. That was exactly what Leah was longing for as we turn to this biblical narrative today. She thought that bearing children for Jacob would change his love for her. She realized after the first 3 sons that having children for Jacob did not change his love. Her pursuit of love needed to be focused in a different direction. Instead of pursuing love from her husband, she needed to pursue the perfect, genuine love of God. And the same is true for us. Human love can be fickle, and it's definitely imperfect, and sometimes disingenuous. And so we need to realize our big idea today, that God is the source of genuine love. That's what I want you to walk away with today. That God is the source of genuine love. And so as we allow that big idea to kind of sink into our hearts and minds today, would you just bow your heads with me as we commit this message to the Lord in prayer? Lord, we come to you and we worship you because you are a God of love. Your love is genuine. Your love is perfect. Your love is holy. It is everlasting. And we are grateful for all of that today. And Lord, we come before you and we confess that so many times we try to find love in human beings who are sinful, who are fallible. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us today to turn to you as the source of genuine love. Lord, I pray for this message today that your words would reign true and strong, that I would speak only your words and not my own, that, Lord, you would be honored and glorified through this message. So we commit it to you, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We see in verse 31 the condition of these two sisters. Let's look at those verses together. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And so we see here the condition. Leah was fertile. God had opened her womb. It was the Lord saw that Leah was not loved. And so last week we talked about the fact that Jacob did love Leah, but not in the same way that he loved Rachel. He loved Rachel more. And so Leah was obviously keenly aware of Jacob's favoritism for Rachel. And Leah wanted what Rachel had, but she was pursuing love and acceptance in the wrong direction. Leah needed to realize that God is the source of genuine love. We see this in Jeremiah 31:3. This is what the prophet writes. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. In Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 35, Paul writes this. I'm sorry. Luke writes this. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. So when it comes to the gospel for the Gentiles, it was for them too. So there wasn't any favoritism. God isn't showing favoritism. Romans chapter 2, verse 11 tells us this, for God does not show favoritism. And here, God is talking about his judgment. As Paul is writing that letter, he's talking about God's judgment, and he's saying, listen, God doesn't show favoritism in his judgment. And so if God does not show favoritism when it comes to the gospel and his judgment, we can be sure that he does not show favoritism when it comes to his love. And that needs to be true for us also. We should not show favoritism. James chapter 2, verse 1 tells us this, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. But see, that's what Jacob was struggling with. He was struggling with showing favoritism for Rachel over Leah. And God recognized that. He saw that. And that leads us to our first principle today that we see from this first verse, that God is all-seeing. He's aware of everything that's taking place. He saw that Jacob was showing favoritism to Rachel over Leah. He sees when we show favoritism in our lives, whether it's with our children, our parents, friends, coworkers, classmates, or schoolmates, siblings, wherever it is that we're showing favoritism, God sees that. He sees when we're showing that favoritism. So I want you to just take a moment to reflect on your life right now. Are you showing favoritism somewhere, at home, at work, at school, in your neighborhood? The Lord sees how you treat those at home, those at work, those at school, those in your neighborhood. So what changes do you need to make so that you're treating everyone equally and fairly? Do you need to ask a family member, a coworker, a friend to forgive you for treating them unfairly? And maybe you're ready to take that first next step today, just to cry out to God and then go and ask, you put in the person's name, to forgive me for not treating them fairly and equitably. It's so easy to show favoritism, isn't it? It's easy to do. Those that treat us well, we treat them well. It's easy to show favoritism to them. Those that don't treat us so well, it's much easier to put them off, put them at arm's length. And so when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved the same way by Jacob, he opened her womb. Our second principle today is this, that God is gracious and merciful to those who are unloved. The Lord provided for Leah as the unloved wife of Jacob. He was intimately aware of her circumstances. He saw that she was unloved, so he opened her womb. And the Lord will provide for you when you are unloved. He is intimately aware of your circumstances. He sees that you are unloved. And out of his great grace and mercy, he will provide for you. Now, I can't tell you how he's going to do it. I don't know exactly how he'll provide for you, but I know that he will. His provision will meet you right where you are. And so maybe you're ready to take the second next step today, and it's when I'm feeling unloved, turn to the Lord and receive his grace and mercy. That's where we need to turn for our love, is to the Lord. And perhaps that's what Leah had done. We're not really told in Scripture, but it would seem to be the case. And so the Lord opened her womb while her sister's womb remained shut. Rachel was receiving favoritism from Jacob. She was receiving this kind of love that Leah wanted. And so her condition was a closed womb that was barren, and she wasn't able to conceive any children. And as we'll see over the next two messages, Rachel's condition lasted for a long time. She had to bear up under the fact that her sister and then her maidservant were having children, and her sister's maidservant were having children, and she wasn't. This was her condition. While Rachel was barren, Leah was fertile, and she was blessed with four sons. And so our second point today is conception, and we see that in verses 32 through the first half of verse 35. This is what God's word says. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuven, or we say Reuben. For she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too." So she named him Shimon, or Simeon, as we say. Again, she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Now at last, my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons." So he was named Levi. And then she conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." So she named him Yehuda, or Judah. And so we see she's very fertile. With the first son, she became pregnant. God is the one who opened Leah's womb. God is the one who enabled her to conceive. Our third principle today is so important, that God is the one who gives life. Young people, if you're following along on your sheet today, who is the one who gives life? We know it's God. God is the one who gives life. He is the creator of everything, so he's the one who gives physical life. But I don't want you to miss this today, that God is also the one who gives spiritual life, eternal life. John chapter 1, verses 10 to 13 tell us this. He was in the world, he's talking about Jesus, and through the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. God is the one who gives us spiritual life. I like what John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 say. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." What did Jesus have to save us from? He had to save us from sin. This darkness of sin that all of us are born with. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We don't reach the perfection of God because of that sin in our lives. And no one had to teach us how to do that, because we were born with this want to, this desire to have our own way. And because of that sin in our lives, you know, God has to punish that sin. And he tells us in Romans 6, 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." What we earn or deserve for our sin is to be separated from God for all of eternity. It's a spiritual death, not a physical death. But I love the fact that we see God's love again in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. That tells us this: "But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He knew what he was going to do about our sin problem from the very beginning, from the moment that Adam and Eve chose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God already knew what he was going to do. He was going to send his son, and he gave that knowledge to prophets long before he ever sent his son. And Paul writes about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He's saying according to the prophecy that was talked about hundreds of years ago. So how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, how that he was buried and that he came alive again the third day according to the scriptures. This was all foretold, and Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. He came and died on the cross to take your punishment for sin, my punishment for sin. He's the only one that could do that because he was perfect without sin. He entered this world as a baby, grew up to be a man, lived a life without sin, even though he was tempted in the same way that you and I are tempted. Yet he didn't sin. And so he gave his life on the cross for us. And I just want to encourage you today to maybe take this third next step, and that's to receive Jesus into my life and believe in his name so I can be saved and have eternal life. We can do that just by crying out to God today. Let me give you that opportunity. Let's just bow our heads right now. And if you've never made that decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you never received him into your life and believed in his name and what he did for you, then I just encourage you to pray this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I confess before you today my sin. I recognize that I need to be saved. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross, to take my punishment for sin. I choose eternal life today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, there's a card in the back of the seat in front of you. Would you please take it out, write your name down, your contact information, and let me know that you've made that decision for the first time today. I want to talk with you and rejoice together with you. That's an incredible decision to make. And so, God is the one who gives life, both physically and spiritually. And God allowed Leah to conceive, and she gave birth to a son and named him Reuben. And his name means, see a son. And his name sounds like the Hebrew for, he has seen my misery. And we know in the text, we saw that Leah expressed what the Hebrew sounds like when she said, it is because the Lord has seen my misery. And the same was true for Hagar and her situation with Ishmael in Genesis chapter 16, verse 11. When she was at her wit's end, if you remember, she named one place where she was at, the Lord has seen, right? She called God by the name of the one who sees me. And so that's pretty incredible for her. God has done this more than once. Our fourth principle is this today. God is concerned about and cares for the unfortunate. For Leah, the Lord knew all about Leah's heartache and her desire for genuine love. Her condition was not lost on the Lord. He knew exactly what he was doing. And the Lord knows all about your heartache and your desire for genuine love. God is the source of genuine love. Your condition is not lost on the Lord. He knows exactly what he's doing about your situation, so you can trust him today. You can just rest in the fact that God knows what he's doing. He knows all about the heartache that you're going through. And so Reuben was Jacob's firstborn son, and as the firstborn son of Jacob, he stood to inherit a double portion of his father's estate. But unfortunately, he forfeited that position by defiling his father's bed. Now, when Jacob is on his deathbed and he brings his sons in and he's giving blessings, quote unquote blessings, some of them are curses, we see in Genesis 49, verses 3 and 4, this is what he says about Reuben. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the first sign of my strength, excelling in honor, excelling in power. Turbulent as the waters, you will no longer excel, for you went up onto your father's bed, onto my couch, and defiled it. He's referring to what happened in the biblical narrative in Genesis chapter 35, verses 21 to 22. And this is what it says. Israel, meaning Jacob, moved on again and pitched his tent beyond Migdal Eder. While Israel was living in that region, Reuben went in and slept with his father's concubine, Bilhah, and Israel heard of it. So he forfeited his position as the firstborn. He was not going to be inheriting a double portion. And what we see here with Leah's focus then is this. She focused her desire for love on her husband. She focused on the love of her husband. Young people, this is your third question today. From whom was Leah trying to receive love? And it was from her husband, Jacob. She believed that providing a male heir for him would certainly change his love for her. But Jacob was human. He was fallible. Leah needed to realize that God is the source of genuine love. And we see here that she conceived a second child, Simeon. She gave birth to him. We go back to our third principle today, that God is the one who gives life. His name probably meant one who hears or hearing with acceptance. Leah once again expressed her hopes with the birth of Simeon when she said, because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too. And so we see our fifth principle today, that God is all-knowing. God not only saw Leah's unloved condition, but he also heard about it. She probably cried out to the Lord about her condition. And the same is true for us. The Lord hears our cries and sees our condition. Psalm chapter 18, verse 6 says this. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. And Psalm 34, verses 17 and 18 tell us this: the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Maybe that's exactly how you're feeling today. Just crushed in spirit, and maybe you're ready for this fourth next step, and that's just to cry out to the Lord about. You get to fill in the answer there. What situation, what circumstance, what condition are you currently going through that you're just feeling brokenhearted about, crushed in spirit? Just lift it up to the Lord. Let him know what that is. So Simeon was human, and he struggled with sin just like we do. Since Reuben forfeited his position as the firstborn son, perhaps it would fall to Simeon. Unfortunately, that was not the case. He also forfeited his position and blessing in the family. If we go back to Genesis chapter 49, verses 5 and 7, this again is Jacob sharing curses and blessings over his children before he dies. And this is what he says: Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are weapons of violence. Let me not enter their council. Let me not join their assembly, for they have killed men in their anger and hamstrung oxen as they pleased. Cursed be their anger so fierce and their fury so cruel. I will scatter them in Jacob and disperse them in Israel. Simeon and Levi killed all of the male Shechemites as revenge for Shechem defiling their sister, Dinah. And we see that in Genesis chapter 34, verses 25 and 26. Now, before I read those verses, let me give you a little backstory there. The Shechemites wanted to intermarry with Jacob and his family, and so they kind of struck up this deal. Jacob's son said, hey, we can't do that because you guys are uncircumcised. But if you guys will all, if everybody in Shechem will be circumcised, then we'll intermarry with you. But this was just a ploy to get them into a position of weakness. And then we see what happens here in verses 25 and 26. They all decide to be circumcised. And 3 days later, while all of them were still in pain, two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords and attacked the unsuspecting city, killing every male. They put Hamor and his son Shechem to the sword and took Dinah from Shechem's home and left. So this is what Jacob was talking about. He's like, you guys have blood on your hands. You're just killing people in your anger. And once again, we saw that Leah was seeking love and approval from her husband. This was her focus again. She was lamenting that she was not loved by Jacob. Her desire was to be loved by Jacob the same way he loved Rachel. As one commentary puts it, she yearns to change her status from the rejected to the preferred wife. Yet, we see the depth of Leah's pain and the names she gives her children. When Reuben was born, her triumph was mingled with bitterness and a forlorn hope. Each time she conceived, she nurtured the same yearning, but always in vain. Leah was stuck in the cycle of comparing herself to her sister. That just takes us back to our fourth principle today, that God is concerned and cares about and cares for the unfortunate. Perhaps the Lord was trying to get Leah to change her focus by providing her with a second son, but she was blinded to the love and blessing of the Lord. She was not yet ready to accept the truth that God is the source of genuine love and not another human being. And it was going to take some time before she came to that realization. The Lord heard that Leah was unloved, and he provided her with Simeon. She was not finished having children, though. She conceived a third time and had another son. That takes us back to our third principle today, that God is the one who gives life. Levi's name literally means adhesion or garland or crown. His name sounds like and may be derived from the Hebrew for attached. Leah named him Levi with the hope that Jacob would now become attached to her in the same way he was attached to Rachel. Again, one scholar says she has not yet given up on Jacob. She's still hopeful that he's going to change. And we see Levi's condition, as we saw in Genesis 49, 5 to 7. Levi's actions and anger were cursed by Jacob because he had joined his brother Simeon in killing the Shechemites. But unlike Simeon, Levi's line was redeemed. The tribe of Levi was set apart for the service of the sanctuary. They were part of the priesthood. Moses and Aaron came from the line of Levi. And if you remember, Aaron becomes the very first high priest. That was the role. And so they were, this line was redeemed. And just like you and I, Leah continued to seek love and acceptance from another human being, from Jacob. Her desire was to be attached to Jacob. As one scholar puts it, she must learn to find her emotional fulfillment in the Lord's grace alone, not anywhere else. The Lord wanted her to be attached to him as her genuine source of love. And the Lord wants us to be attached to him as our genuine source of love and acceptance. John, writing in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 5, has Jesus speaking. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So young people, your fourth question today is this: to whom should we be attached? And it's Jesus, the vine. The Lord had another blessing for Leah. Leah conceived again and gave birth to a fourth son. Again, our third principle is that God is the one who gives life. Judah's name literally means praise. Leah's focus had changed, which was reflected in what she said when Judah was born. "This time I will praise the Lord." Young people, your final question is this: what did Leah do after having her fourth son? She praised the Lord. Now, we know from biblical history that the line of Judah was the line of the kings, the monarchy. They kind of took the lead when it came to Jacob's line. And it's also through Judah's line that Jesus came. Let me read to you then what Jacob says on his deathbed of Judah. We find it in Genesis chapter 49, verses 8 to 12. "Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You are a lion's cub, O Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs. And the obedience of the nations is his. He will tether his donkey to a vine, his colt to the choicest branch. He will wash his garments in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes will be darker than wine, his teeth whiter than milk." That was a blessing. That was a blessing that Jacob gives to Judah. And we see Leah's focus here. Notice that Leah did not lament about her misery. She didn't talk about her loveless condition or being attached to her husband. She didn't even mention Jacob after the birth of her fourth son. Her focus shifted from her husband to the Lord. She finally realized that God was the source of genuine love, so she praised him. The same is true for us. God is the source of genuine love. His love for us is perfect and never ending. Psalm chapter 103, verses 17 and 18 tell us this: "But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts." I already read this verse earlier, but I want to read it again. Jeremiah 31:3, "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness.'" Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 tells us this: "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new morning. Every morning, great is your faithfulness." So maybe you're ready to take this fifth next step today, and that's to seek God's genuine love. Stop trying to seek the love and acceptance of other humans, because it's not perfect. It's not everlasting. God is the only source of genuine love. So I want to encourage you to just focus upon that today. Now, what we see in the last point is cessation. It's the last part, or the last sentence, I should say, of verse 35. And it says this: "Then she stopped having children." After having four sons, Leah stopped having children, at least for a little while, as we'll see in the coming weeks. As one commentary writes, Leah was no longer fretting because her sister had so effectively monopolized Jacob's heart. Leah had found an outlet for her love in the Lord. She no longer needed people to make her happy. Her joy and praise was in God. Having reached that high note in her spiritual life, Leah ceased having sons. What need had she of further assurance. The Lord was better to her than 100 sons. And I hope that's true for us today. That we recognize that God's love is greater than anything else. Any love that we can ever experience here on earth, God's love for us is so much greater than that. You know, as we come to just a review of the next steps, are you ready to ask for forgiveness from those you have not treated fairly and equitably? When you are feeling unloved, I want to just encourage you today, remember to turn to the Lord and receive His grace and mercy. You can receive Jesus into your life and believe in His name. Hopefully you did that today as we prayed, so that you can be saved and have eternal life. You can cry out to the Lord about the situation, the circumstance, or the condition that you're currently experiencing, and then you can choose to seek God's genuine love. You know, as a body of believers, we may need to ask for forgiveness from those we have not treated fairly or equitably. We can cry out to the Lord about the situation, circumstance, or condition that we're currently facing, and we can choose to seek God's genuine love. We don't have to use any kind of mechanism to find out about God's love for us. But let me close with this illustration today. In the fall of 1937, Ed Kiefer was a senior in the School of Engineering at the University of Toledo in Ohio. Tall, slender, and bespeckled, Kiefer was the president of the Calculus Club, the vice president of the Engineering Club, and a member of the school's exclusive all-male honor society. He also invented the cupidoscope. The electrical device could not have been more perfectly designed to bring campus-wide fame to its creators, Kiefer and his less sociable classmate, John Hawley. It promised to reveal with scientific precision if a couple was truly in love. As the inventors explained to a United Press reporter, as news of their innovation spread, the cupidoscope delivered on its promise in terms called amour cycles, the affection that the college girl has for her boyfriend. Built in the school's physics laboratory, the cupidoscope was fashioned from an old radio cabinet, a motor spark coil, and an electrical resistor. To test their bond, a man and woman would grip electrodes on either side of the cupidoscope and move them toward one another until the woman felt a spark. Not of attraction, but of electricity. The higher her tolerance for this mild current, the more of a love signal the meter registered. A needle decorated with hearts purported to show her devotion on a scale that ranged from no hope to see preacher. It all sounds like a slightly painful party game, but the cupidoscope was one experiment in a serious, decades-long quest to quantify love. This undertaking garnered the attention of leading scientists across the United States and in Europe and in the early years of the 20th century, and it is memorialized most prominently in the Penny Arcade mainstay known as the Love Tester. How many of you have tried the Love Tester? Anybody? Okay. You guys knew that you're source of genuine love is God, right? You know, I just want to encourage you today to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord for the love that you're desiring. His love is perfect. His love is never ending. You can trust in that love. So I want to encourage you with that today. And let me just close the message in prayer before we go to the time of communion this morning. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the change in focus that we saw on Leah's heart and mind today, recognizing that you were her source of genuine love, and so she worshiped you, she praised you. Lord, would we do the same thing? Would we worship and praise you for your love that you have poured out so richly upon us? It's an everlasting love. You've drawn us with your loving kindness, and Lord, we are grateful for that today. We just ask, Lord, that you would just bring healing to our hearts as we might be crushed in spirit or just dealing with heartache because of lost love. And so we just seek your face today. We ask this in your precious Son's name. Amen.